stand by for action.
Gamer's Haven Special Edition.
This is Ethan with the Gamer's Haven Podcast, and I had the opportunity to sit down with David Carter and Tom McLaughlin from Mindstorm Labs, the guys who brought us the really cool game Alpha Omega. They were gracious enough to give me 40 minutes of their time to talk to me about what they've been up to, the history of the company, and Alpha Omega itself. So sit back and enjoy. Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. A huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
And this is Ethan with the Gamers Haven Podcast, and I have the pleasure of sitting here with two of the three people behind Mindstorm Labs. I do believe that is correct.
That is correct, yep.
We've got, I believe, David Carter and Tom McLaughlin from Mindstorm Labs. Why don't we get some introductions out of the way first here? Go ahead.
Well, I'm Tom McLaughlin. And the next voice you hear will be Dave Carter.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, real quick, something to ask all of our all the people I talk to is what got you guys into the gaming hobby in general? Not really the business aspect, but what got you into the actual just gaming?
Well, Dave, why don't you start? Your story's longer than mine, I think.
Sure. Well, when I was a teenager, some of the guys I hung out with were into Advanced Dungeons & Dragons at the time. I'm sure that's dating me a bit, but that's kind of where I got my first taste of role-playing, and since then got into a little bit of Vampire and Dungeons & Dragons and AD&D 2nd Edition and 3rd and 3.5 and all that good stuff. And so, as with most gamers, I thought that we could make our own game and make our own system and, you know, make it better and make it everything we ever wanted out of every other game. So that's kind of how I got started with Mindstorm anyway.
Excellent.
And I got started probably through Dave. Grew up playing role-playing games, you know, more on the console and computer. Mm-hmm. Big and of Phantasy Star 2 for the Genesis. That was probably my first major role-playing game. And then when Dave and I met in university, he got me into playing the tabletop versions and started playing that way. So he's the one that really opened my eyes to the bigger world of tabletop games.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. What spurned you guys into getting into the industry, as it were?
Oh, probably the fame and fortune.
Well, that's a given, you know.
Obviously.
The bajillions of dollars that you can make writing a role-playing game.
Well, Dave and I have been friends for a long, long time, and we'd always talked about wanting to do something together in business or something creative. And Dave was up in Ottawa, up in Canada, and started working with a guy named Earl Fischel, who's our other partner. And Earl mentioned to him that he had been working on this idea for a game for quite a long time, and kind of cooking in the back of his mind for a while. And I think Dave took a while to kind of soften him up, and eventually told him about it. And at the same time, Dave and I were talking about getting something started, and we had some investors that were willing to to fund a venture for us, and so we all met, Dave Earl and I, and Earl kind of gave us the framework of what he'd been working on for a while, and it sounded like a pretty good idea. So we decided, well, let's get this started, and we formed the company probably in late 2007. Mm-hmm. And Dave and Earl started working on the project full time at that point, and probably from blank page to finished product with the first books in our hand was probably almost about 12 months. Mm-hmm. So we launched the core rulebook, and then we took a quick break, and then Dave dived right into the creature manual, and we just launched that at Gen Con last year. So it's been. I guess about 2 years since we started Mindstorm Labs, and it's kind of flown by. We've really had our heads down and just been, cranking out products as fast as we can, and bringing on new authors and new talent to help carry the load.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, what backgrounds do you guys come from?
Just in gaming or in general?
In general, I mean, what was it that, what was your day job, or what is your day job, I should say?
Well, when we started the company, I was working with Earl as an analyst with the government in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Since then, I've moved out to Vancouver, BC, and I'm still working as an analyst for the government. Before that, I was an army punk.
And I worked for a private equity group based out of Canada, and we had operating companies around the U.S. and Canada, and mm-hmm. Worked for them, and actually came over and started working on Mindstorm Labs full time about a year ago. So I escaped the corporate world and jumped over this full time. So we sort of alternated who was taking time off to focus on the company.
Mm-hmm. And I see on your website, it says you guys have offices in Ottawa, Ontario, and Orlando, Florida. Is Earl down in Florida, or is it are all three of you up in Canada right now?
Actually, we're in quite a few places right now. Earl's okay. In Ottawa. Dave's in Vancouver. I'm actually in Houston, Texas now.
Oh, wow.
We still have an office and some people in Orlando. But my wife was asked to move out here for a job transfer last year. Yeah, so we moved out here for a year, and then we really liked the city and the state, and they asked her to stay.
Sure.
So we said sure. So now we're in multiple locations. We keep expanding. But,
excellent. The tendrils are expanding throughout the country, it sounds.
That's right, yeah. And, I mean, we're pretty much a virtual company. I mean, we've got artists in Europe and playtesters in Canada and community development teams back in Orlando. So we're kind of all over the place. There's some guys that have worked on the project that we've never met face-to-face before, which is kind of strange.
Oh, yeah.
That's the modern environment, I guess.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, with the whole, obviously Mindstorm Labs, you guys said you started that up back in around 2008 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys sort of built up with something with that with Alpha Omega. So I got to ask the question: who is Ethan Haas?
Yeah. Well, Dave, do you want to take that one?
Sure. Ethan Haas is in our game world. He's an 18th century philosopher, I guess. Kind of an academic, but he's been kind of tormented by beings and these visions that he's having of the future. So he writes them down in his journal, which becomes the Journal of Ethan Haas, and it kind of describes the world that will become Alpha Omega. And the journal itself has a few other properties that are key to the game world that will be revealed in time.
Now you're probably referring to the viral marketing campaign that we launched.
Yes, that is the next step.
Well, that was a really interesting experience. We think that's probably one of the most successful viral marketing campaigns ever launched.
Mm-hmm.
When that went live, through the whole run of it in the first 2 months, we had close to 16.5 million visitors at the site, mm-hmm. and turned into a pretty good response for us. And that's actually, you know, we still are contacting a lot of people that signed up for our newsletter and database from that initial campaign. And, you know, a lot of them, obviously, when you get to that size, aren't gamers, tabletop gamers. But usually the reaction is, let us know when it's going to be the video game or the movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, keep us posted type thing. So
right.
It was a kind of a lightning in the bottle situation. We launched that, and you know, we were starting to get pretty good response from it. And what we thought was, you know, we were pretty happy with it. You know, there's a few hundred, then maybe 1,000 people played the puzzles and whatnot. We thought, hey, that's awesome. And then a couple of film websites linked us to Cloverfield that J.J. Abrams put out, and all of a sudden nobody verified that, and it just exploded. And we were in USA Today, Time Magazine, Forbes. Just all over the place. So everybody was on both sides. We were sort of like, well, let's just keep quiet and let it run its course. You know, it's kind of, you don't want to kind of jump out behind the curtain and ruin it. So, you know, you just let it run its course. And
yeah. And I'm sure you guys, I'm sure even if you guys had, you know, come out to deny it, would have really just thrown fuel on it anyway. So
yeah, we had some fun with it. We actually reached out to some players in real life and sent them clues in real life, and you know, they even would post those online, and nobody would believe them. They'd think they were a plant. So you know, it's one of the it's one of those things where, you know, it's a, you know, you can't, you're, you know, you're damned if you don't sort of thing. So mm-hmm. You just gotta hopefully be one of the pawns in the game and have fun with it. So
what went into putting that whole thing together?
Well, the concept of the genesis behind it was we wanted to create what we thought would be very puzzles that would stretch over maybe a month or two.
Right.
For to build up to the launch of the main website August 1st, right before Gen Con.
Uh-huh.
And we launched it in late June, and we thought, okay, that gives everybody about a month, maybe a little bit more. And what happened was, when you've got that many millions of people playing the game and launching websites on how to solve the puzzles and things like that, It got solved probably in the first 5 or 6 days, and
right.
People were like, okay, what's the next step? So we were really kind of two steps ahead of everybody the whole time. We were constantly adding new sites and new puzzles and pretty much making it up as we went to kind of keep the interest there until August 1st. So that was a pretty fun experience in itself. You know, I had never heard of an ARG until people started calling it that. So we were pretty amazed at the tenacity of people and the hard work they'll put into trying to find puzzles and solutions. And I don't know if you keep track of this stuff, but Valve just ran a campaign the last few weeks, and incredibly complex what people had to solve to work it out. So it's pretty amazing that they'll put the time and effort into it. So it's
right.
Pretty neat, pretty impressive.
Well, and of course the alternate reality game led into the launch of your flagship, which was, of course, Alpha Omega.
That's right. That's right.
Why don't you give our our listeners that don't know what Alpha Omega is, because, I mean, some people might not know, why don't you give us the rundown of what is Alpha Omega?
Well, Alpha Omega is a game, its most basic form, it's a dystopian post-apocalyptic setting.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to build the game to be a platform for any type of post-apocalyptic or sci-fi, like kind of near future gaming that you want to be able to do. So we've linked quite a few genres together, whether it's, you know, the supernatural or horror or like hard science fiction, fantasy. They all have their place in Alpha Omega.
Mm-hmm.
As like when you open the core rule book, it's the year 2280, and most of the world has been reclaimed by Mother Nature. It's all regrown. Most of the old world has been destroyed, and society is kind of holed up in large vertical cities known as arcologies.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in between is the wilds, and it's all very dangerous. A lot of weapons that were used when the kind of the old world fell apart. A lot of mutagenic viruses, chemical weapons, biological weapons, they've all had a tremendous effect on the flora and fauna in between the cities, so it's quite a dangerous world. And on top of that, you have two ancient warring alien races, the Seraph and Ophanim, that have been misrepresented by history as being angels and demons. They are now returned to Earth to wage war again. And this will be the first time that mankind, because of our technology, and also because some people are evolving at an accelerated rate, i.e. player characters, will be able to influence the outcome of their war.
Excellent, excellent. And Alpha Omega came out in 2008 and is an odd-looking book. It is, it's in widescreen, as you guys have said before.
Mm-hmm. I think you mean beautiful-looking.
Yes. It's an immensely beautiful full-color hardcover, yes. And to clarify for our listeners, it's not D20, it's nothing like that. It's its own system, right?
That's right. That's the 6/6 system.
The 6/6 system. Okay.
Yep.
And go ahead.
Dave can tell you a little bit about that if you want, just how the combat works, or maybe a little bit about our magic system.
Please do.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. Well, the reason we call it the 6/6 system is because during what we call a combat cycle, which you guys mostly know as a round, you have 6 dice at your disposal that you can use amongst any of your turns. And it's possible that you may have up to 6 turns, depending on how powerful your character is. So I say it's up to you how many you want to use. You could use all 6 of your dice on your first turn, which would increase your chance of success or the probability of your success at the actions you're trying to achieve. Or you can split the dice up amongst all of your turns if you're more confident, if your character is more skilled and you don't need as many dice. as your character gets more powerful, not only do they get more turns within a combat cycle, but their 6 dice get stronger. So at the beginning of the game with a new character, they probably have access to D4s and D6s. As you progress, you move up to D8s, 10s, 12s, and eventually D20s, so you can, in theory, do more with less dice.
Okay.
So that's kind of how the system works.
Sure. And you guys put out obviously this book first, and the newest book that's out now is the, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's the Beast book, the Encountered.
That's right. It's the we call it the Encountered Volume 1.
So presuming there'll be a Volume 2 at some point.
That's right. So yeah, it's basically 200 creatures. The way the book's kind of written, it's sort of like the world's sort of best assessment of what's out in the wild or out in the world right now that that players may encounter. And there's Dave, how many sections are there? There's
5 sections.
Yeah.
Freaks of nature, which are all your plants and animals that have been mutated. Tech fiends, which are either completely robotic or mechanical creatures or cyborgs, or any combination of kind of biology and mechanical, robots or anything with any artificial parts. Spiritual creatures, which are creatures either fully comprised of or influenced by Alpha and Omega energy, which is one of the key factors in our game world. And then you have abominations and finally demons. And demons are heavily corrupted by Omega energy, and they're, I guess you could call them evil. And the abominations are our undead or scientific experiments that have gone awry.
And the creature manual follows the same format and layout and quality as the core rulebook. Each creature has its own full-color page illustration and it's basically sort of set inside its environment in an action scene, so you can kind of get a sense of where they live and how they interact. And then the larger or higher level creatures all have a 2-page full color illustration for them. And we also included a lot of orthographic views for a lot of the creatures in comparison to Bohemian, so you can kind of get a good sense of how they look and their size and whatnot. And then we've also got creature templates in the back, so you can take the existing creatures and add different traits or abilities to them. So if you want to take a champion of the damned and just one of the higher level creatures and add some new abilities to him or whatnot, you can kind of create your own variation of him. So that probably leads to countless or thousands of different variations of creatures from those first 200.
Now, how did you guys tackle designing the world that this is set in? Was that mainly Earl?
It was a combination of Earl and I initially, and then...
Because, this is then, a very rich setting you guys have here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, we tried to... we always probably say this in every interview, but or maybe I say it. We always want to look at it as more of a sandbox world, mm-hmm. where we can create a really great setting and then just leave it up to the players and their imagination and GMs and writers and authors of how they want to come in and play in this world. So, you can a setting or a place setting where you're set totally in an arcology and it's all high tech, or you could have a more of a Mad Max feel out in the wild, or you can combine them and you can do, as your players are getting stronger, you've really got some, Matrix style action possibilities and things like that. So we just tried to set a really nice table for everybody and then really just see what they wanted to do with it.
And I'm flipping through the core book that I've got in front of me, and we already mentioned it's full color hardback book. Is that what you guys initially you wanted to set out to do, full color hardback, or was that at all something that was concerned about you guys were concerned about cost wise or?
No, we I guess it's just how you want to.
Most people with their first role playing game coming out of their company, they usually aren't usually don't tackle something this big,
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess it's just your thoughts on how you want to approach things. We knew this is our first attempt, and honestly, we didn't really want to launch with something smaller and say, hey, just wait, the next thing's going to be even better. We really wanted to launch with the best we could do at that time.
Sure.
And that's really honestly for us. That allowed us, I think, to get picked up by every distributor and without any sort of issue at all, and just start to generate a lot of appeal. We've gotten a huge fan base in Europe and Eastern Europe and as far away as New Zealand and Australia. People ordering the book. For a while there, we weren't offering free shipping. And people were paying more for the shipping than they were for the books.
Oh, wow.
So we switched over to free shipping anywhere in the world, but we were still amazed that a guy in New Zealand would pay $75 to ship the book. So for us, for Alpha Omega, we see it as a larger world setting than just in this current medium. Mm-hmm. We wanted to launch it here because it's a great way for us to really lay the foundation of a really large world. But we knew, we want to take it other directions, and to do that, we wanted to have a really great foundation to launch from. So, that's kind of why we wanted to do the landscape format as well, because it really lends itself to some beautiful illustrations and cinematic look to it.
And, well, you guys have been around for a few years now, and obviously Alpha Omega has begun to evolve into its own thing. What is you guys have another? Now, I'm not sure. Is this an actual book, or is it a PDF release? Is Milk Run?
Yeah, Milk Run's the very first module that we released. Wow, that was probably about a year and a half ago that we launched that. Dave can probably tell you a little bit more about it. He worked on it a lot more than I did.
Yeah, it was kind of like an introductory module just to give people another taste, a bit more exposure into the world, and also provide some pre-generated characters and kind of a ready-to-play adventure that would take you probably 1 or 2 4-hour sessions. Mm-hmm. Just so we could give an example of what an adventure was like in the Alpha Omega world.
Now, after that, we launched an in-game Wikipedia called the NWSEC, which is which is a website you can go to directly or from the Alpha Omega, the game.com. Uh-huh. And it's basically it's set in world, and so it's basically the NWSEC is sort of the new body of knowledge and discovery in the new world.
Mm-hmm. And what does that the NWSEC stand for?
The New World Science Engineering Commission.
Okay.
And so players can go there, and the idea is that they can submit their own sort of quote-unquote discoveries in the Alpha Omega world.
Right.
So there's sections for new locations, creatures, etc. So players are going in and saying, hey, you know, I filled up, you know, they kind of fill out a template, and they can even put in their own illustration if they want to, of, you know, things that they discovered their players to share. And we even took, in the Encountered, we took our 5 favorite fan-created creatures and put them into the Encountered as official creatures and gave them full illustration and credit as the creators of those creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at our – we actually just launched the AlphaOmegaTheGame.com. We relaunched that about a month ago with a new website, and you can take a look at our products page, and I'll kind of give you a sense. So there's about 8 or 9 projects that we have coming soon, and we're sort of announcing a new one every couple of weeks, and each one of those is a new author as well. And some of the names your listeners will probably recognize as we announce more and more of their names. Some of them have worked on some pretty large projects in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty jazzed to have a lot of them come on board, and you know, really to look at the Alpha Omega world and say, yeah, you know, I'd like to write in this world, and I can, you know, I can kind of see playing in the sandbox. So.
Mm-hmm. And is that's fiction you're talking about, or even more game supplements?
It's a little bit of both. We're going to be releasing some fiction, some additional modules, and some supplements as well.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we announced was a fiction piece called The Adventures of Little Yoshida, and that's going to be kind of an interesting piece. It's sort of a novella, but we're dividing it up into 9 pieces, and we're going to release the first one in April, and then, you know, a few weeks later release the next piece, and so on over sort of the course of a few months. So you'll purchase it once, but then you'll get each additional sort of episode as they come out. And that's being written by Jess Hartley.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked on World of Darkness, Vampire, Geist, Exalted, The Lost. And so she's been a great lady to work with, and she's the first author that we've announced, and next week we'll be announcing another one.
Excellent.
And the project as well. Yep.
Oh, nice. And I am, you know, did sort of a cruise around your website the other day, and mm-hmm. you guys also have a living campaign.
That's right.
Don't you?
That's right. Yep. That's being run by a community developer named Rich Osterhout.
Okay.
And he actually ran and launched the first living campaign for Shadowrun back in the day. So Rich was in the Orlando area with me, and we met and it hit it off. And he's been a great addition to the team. And he's actually one of the upcoming authors we're going to be announcing as well. He's got a few supplements in the works for us as well.
Nice. Nice. And it seems like, just looking around on your, basically what you guys have been doing, is quite a lot of player support, and a lot of, looks like you can get a free preview of Alpha Omega off of your website.
We have a quick start guide you can download.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, which is probably about 20 or 30 pages, and again, it actually has some new artwork, and
nice.
You know, it's full color, same production quality value as all of our books, and you can download that for free. And we have game tokens, GM screens, even music. You can download some Alpha Omega soundtracks that you can play with your adventures. So if you go to our downloads page on our site, you can kind of see all the different things. We even have alt wallpapers for your computer screen if you like.
Right.
Yeah.
And I see a new announcement that something with Full Sail.
Yeah, Full Sail is a university. Their main campus is in Orlando, Florida, and they're the largest school in the world for film, animation, digital design, miniatures, artwork, all, you know, kind of the whole gamut from everything from film to stop motion animation. Mm-hmm. And we've partnered with them in the past on some student projects just as sort of a test to kind of see how things would work, and we're both really happy with that. And so they have a research lab with a group of professors and students and faculty that have wanted to take charge and put together our character creator for us. So that's been in the works for a while, and we were just finally ready to make that announcement officially this week.
Nice. And that was just born out of working with them in the past, or?
Yeah, sort of just kind of networked and friends of friends and got to know some folks. And
sure.
And we kind of saw, you know, they're always looking for opportunities to partner with industry. You know, it's good for them, and you know, we enjoy teaching and always looking for new talent as well.
Sure.
So it's kind of a good relationship for us. And so, you know, we hit it off with them and said, well, what could we do together? And originally they had wanted to, we talked about maybe them designing the new website for us and whatnot, but we had a great team already in place for that. So we said, well, the character creator is something we've been promising for a long time, but kind of keeps getting pushed back because of other priorities. So
sure.
they took a step forward and said, okay, we'll take a crack at that. And we said, that sounds great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, a friend of mine graduated from there, actually. So.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's a pretty neat school. They even have their own back lot, and I mean, if you want to, yeah.
That's amazing. It really sounds like you guys are coming at this really in a different way than most other game companies have in the past.
Yep.
I mean,
we hear that a lot.
I mean, is there a really? I don't know how else to ask it, but I mean, is there a reason for that? I mean, is Did somebody have that idea to do that, or is it just the way things ended up?
Is there a master plan?
Yes.
Well,
because I mean, an ARG for a role playing game, and you know, and now using Full Sail for the character creator, it's just kind of unique.
Well, thanks. I mean, we're really just doing it the best way we know how. I
sure.
mean, you know. I don't think there's any other reason behind it. I mean, we're doing it the best way we think we would want to, and really approaching. We're looking at it as an intellectual property, and we're trying to see how can we best develop that property.
Sure.
And you know, right now that's in tabletop role playing games, and you know, how can we best? I guess we always think of how can we best support the property, how can we best support the fan base, and what can we do to keep them engaged and keep them happy and give them what they want. And that with that foundation, that just sort of manifests into to opportunities and what we try to accomplish. But fortunately, the website doesn't show any of our fantastic failures. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys have in store for Alpha Omega that you can talk about?
Well, probably the most public things right now are the products that you can take a look at on our website. If you look at each icon for each one, you can see there's an upcoming product. Probably our biggest one, our next sort of flagship book, is Prelude to War, and I'll stop rambling here and let Dave can tell you about that one. Beyond that, we've got different sections on modules, supplements, and fiction. In fiction, we have Little Yoshida. That's coming out in April. We have another project that we'll be announcing more on in March called 1/10,000. And in supplements, we have Field Guide of the Wild, which is sort of a supplement to The Encountered. It's sort of a, hey, if I shoot this creature, what can I for it? You know, that sort of thing. How can I hunt them or trap them or, you know, things like that. Another supplement is something that's been really asked for is the Weapons and Equipment Guide, and that's pretty self-explanatory what that is. And it's equipment and weapons. And under modules, we have upcoming The Job, The Longest Mile, and The Fallen Seed. And we actually have one more writer that we just actually signed up today that we'll probably be adding him on under supplements here pretty soon. But like I said, the major sort of next, I guess probably flagship book, which was, you know, where we try to go go all out on, and is the core team working on, is Prelude to War, and that's Dave's really heading that one up.
Oh yeah, what is Prelude to War?
Well, Prelude to War is a few different things. From the Alpha Omega gaming world perspective, it's going to advance the timeline and the meta plot. It'll be quite a bit of material about the Seraph and O'Phantom armies, how they get to Earth to wage their war, why they're waging it, a little bit about what happened in the last war and how it affected Earth's history, who all the key players are, some of the tactics and units involved, and how it's going to play out and interact with Earth. It's also going to have another game engine where the 6-6 is a kind of an adaptive tactical engine where you can add a lot of additional or optional rules to make it more strategic or streamline it down to make the game flow faster. Mm-hmm. The new engine is going to be even faster, and it'll also be compatible with a tabletop war game for miniatures that will also be included in Prelude to War. So we're going to
Wow.
Yeah, we'll be building on the factions that were introduced in the encounter, eventually bringing out some miniatures for those, and going into more detail about what the factions are all about and why they're fighting each other, what their motivations are on Earth, and
that's
going to be a great product.
Sounds like you guys are keeping pretty busy with that stuff.
We try.
Excellent.
And then beyond that, I mean, we've got some larger or longer term projects, but they're all pretty nebulous at this point, so nothing to announce yet, but we'd love to at some point.
Sure. And what's at least I'm curious, what conventions are you guys going to be trying to make this year?
We've been hitting the convention circuit pretty hard. Not us so much. We've developed our team, which isn't anything original, but it's our take on it is called the Wardens, the Warden program is basically our volunteer army, which is always just blows my mind how much people will support you and help you out around the world. So that's really, that team has really allowed us to go to a lot of smaller conventions where it's just too cost prohibitive to, you know, ship a booth and equipment and whatnot. We were at NecroCon, MegaCon, insert your name here, Con. You know? We've been in quite a few up and down. Dave was at one in Vancouver.
I was at VCon in the fall, and then GottaCon in Victoria on Vancouver Island just a few weeks ago. It was a great con.
And then, of course, we'll have a team at Origins, and then obviously our big event every year is Gen Con. That's sort of our, you know, end of year, new year kind of kickoff or whatnot. And this will actually be our fourth year there,
I think,
which is incredible. So time just flies by, and it's amazing. Every time you go there, it feels like you just left. So it's always fun. I mean, we want to try to launch, you know, a major product every year at Gen Con. So we're hoping to have Prelude to War ready to go out the door by then. Last year was the Encountered, and it was a great success. We literally sold out of all the books, and
fantastic.
So we even gave away some of the booth. people took it, but so it was. It was great. So, you know, we'll always be at Gen Con. So that'll be the big one.
Excellent.
Yep.
Well, and I ask this of everyone I get on the show, but what is it you guys are playing or running right now, if anything?
Well, I'm not playing or running anything at the moment just because we're keeping so busy trying to get products out for Alpha Omega and then starting to work on Prelude to War. So that's taken up pretty much all of my time.
Yeah, it's a sad truth. So any of your listeners out there that enjoy playing games, don't start making them, because then you'll stop playing. Like Dave was saying, we're pretty much, you get kind of wrapped up in it, and unfortunately you don't get a chance to play very much. Usually our biggest chance to play is sometimes at Gen Con or some of the conventions.
Yeah.
even then if you have time. But I'm still a bit of a video game player, but even that's maybe once a week. So if you want to stop playing games, start making them.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for taking the time out to talk to me. I know you guys obviously are very busy with lots of stuff.
No problem.
Where can people go to find out more about Alpha Omega and Mindstorm Labs?
Well, the easiest place to kick off is our main site is alphaomegathegame.com, and that will take you to our forums, our Warden page, the NWSEC, and if you want to, you can go to the Mindstorm Labs corporate site from there and see all the boring business stuff on the background. Mm-hmm. And we're also, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, and all those usual social media sites. So lots of different places to grab us. And also, if anybody ever has any questions, we try to always get back to everybody as soon as possible. So you can always email us at news@mindstormlabs.com.
Excellent. And you mentioned the Wardens.
Yes.
Are they just for conventions, or do they also do demo? Can they do demos at local game stores or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If any retailers are out there, we have some great posters. We have some really, movie theater quality posters of some really great creatures that we can send to your store. And the Wardens are also available to come and run demos. A lot of them do that right now with their local gaming store.
Sure.
So, we'd love to support that however we can. So.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And they're on that same website, correct?
That's right, yeah. It's one of the main buttons right on the center of the page. Just excellent. Click on Wardens. And for retailers, there's a page dedicated directly for them as well. They can contact us and ask for some more information or samples of the game. You know, our usual style is we'll send you some copies and for free, and if you can't sell them, send them back, and they usually don't come back. So,
that's good. I'll be talking to them for CanCon. So,
yeah, great,
definitely. Well, again, I wanted to thank you guys for taking the time out to talk to me. Obviously, it's been a pleasure, and thank you very much.
Great. Well, if we don't talk to you sooner, we'll see you in person at Gen Con, I hope.
Oh yeah, most certainly.
Thank you.
Hey, take care, man.
You too.
Okay, Mags, you know about the reviews, interviews, news, and discussions that we have here on All Games Considered. But before you join up, we should tell you about the curse.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what's this about?
The co-host curse. I mean, first there was just Mike and his bizarre gardening accident. Poor
bizarre
guy.
Bizarre gardening.
And then there was the first Chris. He choked on...
Mark, what does this have to do with anything?
Well, you guys are going through co-host at an alarming rate.
And it's not going to get better if Mark keeps scaring them away.
All Games Considered, featuring news and conversations about all aspects of tabletop gaming, is a proud member of Goblin, the gaming broadcast network.
Start your journey at www.agcpodcast.info.
Let me guess, the second Chris spontaneously combusted during a recording, right?
Yeah, how did you know?
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.